This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Bernier. The Travis County Sheriff, Sally Hernandez, was elected on a promise to end cooperation with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the Travis County Jail. I was looking through her Facebook feed, and in September, she wrote during the campaign that anyone arrested will go through the same process of booking, magistrate, and prosecution. And when she wrote that on Facebook, then Sheriff Greg Hamilton had a policy of honoring all warrantless requests from federal immigration authorities to detain suspected undocumented immigrants who had otherwise been cleared for release. Once Hernandez was elected and assumed office, she made some exceptions to her promise. Sheriff Hernandez said she would honor ICE requests if the person had been accused of one of three crimes: aggravated sexual assault, human trafficking, or murder. Then some informal modifications were made to the policy. Hernandez's office said she may honor ICE requests in some cases in which the elderly or children were victimized. Now, a new analysis by KUT News finds apparent inconsistencies in the ICE detainer policy. A policy, I should add, that gave fuel to the state legislature to pass a law that requires local officials to honor all ICE detainer requests or face criminal charges and removal from office. That law is scheduled to take effect in September if courts don't block it. KUT's Audrey McGlinchey has been analyzing data she obtained through an open records request. And Audrey, lately, when I walk by your cubicle, I see lots of spreadsheets open.
Yes.
So it's a lot of clicking through Excel.
Yeah, it was a lot of, I'm also working on another public information request that requires a lot of data. So it's been kind of an Excel spreadsheet week, which is fun.
What were the inconsistencies you found?
Sure. Well, there were two pretty blatant inconsistencies, and I should say two cases in particular. So I was analyzing data from March 1st to May 5th, so over a two-month period. And during that two-month period, the inconsistencies I found actually related mostly to reoffenders, people who were booked twice over that period of time into Travis County. So the first one was a 38-year-old man. He was originally booked on a charge of DUI third or more, meaning he'd had previous DUIs. An ICE detainer was issued for him, and the Travis County Sheriff's Department honored that ICE detainer. He was released to ICE, according to the Travis County Sheriff's Office. But then about 2 months later, he was rebooked on the same exact charge, on the DUI third or more. ICE is still looking into why he was released from their custody. But in that second time that he was booked, the ICE detainer was declined. And so I asked Travis County, I asked Kristen Dark, the spokesperson, why this was inconsistent, why the application of this ICE detainer on the same man, same exact charge, why it was applied differently. There wasn't a clear answer. You know, I was told, you know, it's up to the captain at the time. There must have been something different in that first charge. Mind you, it's the same bail amount. So a judge had decided it's the same severity. It's the same exact charge on paper. So there's really no understanding why it was declined that second time.
So that was the first inconsistent case you found. What was the second?
Yes. So the second one was an 18-year-old man, and he was originally booked into Travis County on the charge of organized criminal activity. And I got a little more detail about that because it sounds kind of mafia-esque. And actually, that crime applies when you're basically doing criminal activity with two or more people.
Okay.
So he apparently was pulling on door handles of cars, presumably looking to take stuff from cars.
So he's not necessarily like in the mafia or a Mexican drug cartel or anything.
No. So it can sound much more serious than it is. So with that first charge, the ICE detainer came in and it was denied. It was declined by Travis County Sheriff's Office. He was released on a personal recognizance bond. That's a no-cost bond. And I think it was about a month later, he was rebooked on a charge of home burglary. So this time he broke into a home, burglarized the home. And in that second case, the ICE detainer on him was actually honored and he was released to ICE. So I asked, you know, home burglary does not fit, you know, those three high-level felonies the sheriff said she would honor ICE detainers for. Why in this case? I mean, we're talking about an 18-year-old person. And I was told, while the spokesperson didn't have access to the captain's notes at the time, because apparently they do take notes, I've tried to get this, I've been blocked, she believes that it was because it was an escalation of criminal activity. You know, he's jumped up a notch. Now he's entered someone's home rather than someone's car. But still really interesting because, you know, the sheriff has said she still maintains the right to apply this on a case-by-case basis, but it seems like it's pretty subjective or applied subjectively. Yeah.
Are we only talking about two cases out of how many?
So two cases of about 160 in this two-month period. So yeah, you're right. It's rare. These inconsistencies are rare. But I think they speak to the fact that this can be left up to a singular person who is not the sheriff, who can make a decision one day and then make a different decision another day when we're looking at the same person and the same crime. So, you know, you're opening yourself to a lot of questions, I would say.
Those might be a type of inconsistency, but there are also cases where people were handed over to ICE who were accused of committing crimes that didn't fit within those described by the sheriff's policy. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So 8 of these, about 160 cases in that 2-month period, were 8 cases where inmates had an ICE detainer placed on them, and then they were released to ICE. And of these charges, they were booked on, we see DUI, we see manufacture and delivery of a drug, we see sex abuse of a child, which does fit in with the specific crimes the sheriff has set. And we also see assault, and we see aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Now, a few of these, DUI specifically and the drug charge, are considered nonviolent charges, yet people were turned over to ICE. So I asked the sheriff's office about this. You know, these people are not murdering folks. You know, this is not aggravated sexual assault. This is not human trafficking. And I was told most likely, though it cannot be confirmed on these specific cases, that criminal history played a factor. If you go and look at the sheriff's policy, she does say those 3 high felonies she set out, if someone's booked on those charges or has been convicted of those charges in the past, she will honor the ICE detainer request. And I think that's been overlooked in the coverage, is the play that criminal history has in this. But again, I will repeat, I was not able to get access to these people's criminal history. I was not able to get confirmation on these specific cases that the criminal history played a part. So it's one factor that may have played a part in why these people were released to ICE.
Nevertheless, we've come a long way from candidate Sally Hernandez's campaign promise. I'll go back to this Facebook post from September where she wrote that, quote, anyone arrested will go through the same process of booking, magistrate, and prosecution, end quote. Whether you agree with that policy or not, it helped her get elected. She got a lot of support from immigrant advocates. What are they saying about what you've uncovered here?
Yeah, I spoke with Bob Leibel from Grassroots Leadership. So I laid out for him, you know, the analysis I did, the specific cases I've talked about so far. And he kind of was, you know, like, that's all interesting, but actually I've had an issue with her policy from the beginning. And I asked him, what do you mean? And he said she campaigned on a promise to not honor any ICE detainers. So the fact that she has agreed to do so for specific high-level felonies and on a case-by-case basis, he had a lot of trouble with that. And the point he made to me was that immigrants, undocumented or otherwise, he felt like there was an assumption of more criminality. There needing to be an extra level of detainment placed on someone who has been booked and will be subject to the criminal process we have here in the U.S. So that was really interesting. I heard that from Ashley Fisher as well with Raices, who has offices in San Antonio, D.C., and Austin. She took a perhaps harsher stance than Bob. And, you know, she said the sheriff was elected on this promise to not honor any ICE detainers. And we're not seeing that, and we're upset about it. So whereas, you know, we've seen a lot of support from the immigrants' rights community, especially in the face of SB4 and a lot of support for the sheriff, there are some mixed emotions about this policy.
KUT's Audrey McGlinchey reporting on some inconsistencies that she's uncovered in the ICE detainer policy maintained by the Travis County Sheriff's Office. You can read her story at KUT.org. Thanks for talking to me, Audrey.
Thanks so much.